live. It's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Cause every minute, every hour, you'll be shaking by the
string of my power. Welcome back to Drive Time Sports. We are live from the Sutherland Studios here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM. A little bit strange. We don't have any baseball today. None. Gearing up for the divisional round, which will take place starting tomorrow. Baseball all day long, so we'll definitely get our fix. It's going to start early morning, 11 o'clock. We get the Phillies and the Braves. 1:30, Mariners will take on the Astros. We get Cleveland and New York at 5:30. And then the nightcap tomorrow, it's the Dodgers and the Padres. We're going to talk about the divisional round and what lies ahead as far as the baseball season is concerned. Joining us right now over the phone, Steve Bordstein. Steve, always a pleasure to get you on.
It was fun to watch daytime baseball that mattered the other day. It's going to be fun to watch daytime baseball that matters throughout the week. And so, yeah, it's a good time right now. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's good for guys like you and I. You know, we're spoiled in the sense where we get to work in sports, so we can watch day baseball. I truly feel bad for Atlanta Brave, you know, Philadelphia Philly, Seattle, Houston fans who have followed their team for 162 games, and now you have to miss out on the most important game of the year. Why? Because you have a job, like a responsible adult. You work during the day. This is the one thing that baseball does that drives me nuts.
I agree. I remember being a kid when the Dodgers would play day games in the playoffs, and I remember being a 15, 16-year-old kid that would get yelled at by his teachers because the Dodgers played at 1 in the afternoon against the Cardinals, and, you know, I'm supposed to be paying attention in class, and instead I'm, you know, listening to Tom Niedenfuhr blow a ninth-inning save opportunity to the Cardinals in the National League, Divisional Series. So, yeah, for those people who have to work during the day, sorry, sucks to be you, but we'll be home watching daytime baseball.
I had a dad that just, he let me stay home from school. I was spoiled as a kid as well. Let's talk about the divisional series. We'll start with the American League. Seattle really pulling off a whole lot of momentum based on how their wild card series with the Blue Jays went. I get the biggest kick out of this Toronto team because they were such a sexy pick in the offseason. They have so much talent, so much young talent. This is exactly what baseball wants, right? They want a group of kids like a Guerrero, like a Bichette. This is what lures in new fans. Then they get completely waxed by Seattle and have a complete meltdown. This Mariners-Astros series is so intriguing to me. In fact, if I look at it front to back, this may be the most interesting series from my perspective based on the idea that Houston is the best team in the AL, but there is just something about this Mariners squad, and I don't quite know what it is.
It's a fun story, right? They had they had that miserable start to the season, and then they had that big 14-game win streak, which was compounded by a number of walk-off home runs and dramatic one-run victories. I believe they led Major League Baseball in one-run victories this year, so they're a fascinating story. I think this comes to a grinding halt, though, against the Astros, who you can argue have as legitimately good a pitching staff top to bottom as maybe another team we'll talk about here in a moment from the National League side, you know what I'm talking about. But they have top to bottom the best pitching staff probably in the entire American League. So I think that's where this comes to a halt. One of the interesting stories, and I'm glad you mentioned the Toronto Blue Jays, because it's also important to mention the Tampa Bay Rays in the same context here. Both these teams from the American League East that were chasing the Yankees all season long, and they both come up short in the wild card round. What does that say about the American League East? Yeah, the Yankees were dominant. But over who? I mean, when you look at the entire American League East, remember Baltimore made that little bit of a run where we thought they were relevant. Boston was miserable basically for the entire season. Toronto and Tampa Bay, maybe they were just, you know, they were sexy picks in the preseason, but maybe they just never were really that dominant of teams to begin with. I agree with you. I think Seattle's a fun team. I think Seattle's story is just being written because they're so young. They've got the youngest batting, the youngest group of guys in the batting order of any team in Major League Baseball. I think their story is just being written right now, but I think this is going to be a little bit hammer hitting nail. I think the Astros have what it takes here, having the time off. their starting pitching staff is going to be crucial. And I think that's going to be what gets them an early 2-0 lead in this series, and I think they'll win this series in 3 or 4 games. I think the Astros move on. But Seattle, if you're a Mariners fan, or if you're just a fan of that new team that's coming up the ranks, Seattle's going to be that team to watch in the coming years because they're awfully, awfully good.
Well, I agree. Houston's going to roll out Justin Verlander in Game 1. Again, that's tomorrow at 1:30. The other American League series, we get the Guardians and the Yankees. And New York is a team that kind of sputtered along after the trade deadline. The headlines today, it's all about Aroldis Chapman. He is not, his time as a Yankee is over with. Take that for whatever you will. I mean, I don't know if that's a huge loss for New York, the way things have gone for Chapman. He was left off the roster. This whole thing going down right now with the organization, so his time is done. However, I look at the Guardians, and as you bring up the American League East and how we were so captivated by this race and how the Yankees had this astronomical lead and it started to dwindle, and if it wasn't for Aaron Judge, who was hands down the MVP of the American League, the Yankees maybe were a wild card team. I think that Aaron Judge was that important. On the flip side, we had the AL Central race, and it was so close. It was a three-pony race for the longest time, but Steve Cleveland pulled away. They played phenomenal baseball down the stretch. They took it to the White Sox in a highly important three-game set. They swept them and swept them with ease. This is a team that seems to be playing their best baseball, and that's certainly no exception when you go back and look at the way the wild card really played out. When I look at the Guardians, and we talk about the Yankees, and everyone's going to mention Aaron Judge, the Guardians have Jose Ramirez, who very easily could be considered the best player in the American League. Hands down, this kid is that good, right? This is a very good baseball club.
This is a very good baseball club managed by a guy who, let's not forget, the postseason experience that Terry Francona has. You can argue all you want about, you know, some missed calls in the World Series and regarding pitching staffs or whatever years ago, but Terry Francona, you know, he's that manager who knows all the ins and outs and knows when to pull the right decisions, knows when to make those calls. You mentioned Jose Ramirez. The pitching staff is solid. That's a good ball club. This is a scrappy ball club. And you mentioned the Aroldis Chapman situation. Is there not a better example of the dysfunction of the Yankees organization than Aroldis Chapman not having a legitimate excuse for missing a team meeting or a workout, whatever it was? Look, beyond Gerrit Cole, this pitching staff is suspect. Nestor Cortez, the rest of that pitching staff is suspect at best. The bullpen core is mediocre, I think, when you look at it. And I look at what the Rays and I look at what the Blue Jays did in the postseason here. Of the four division winners, the four teams that had byes, I can make arguments that the Yankees are the worst of the four. Now, that being said, you do have Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge is either going to hit a home run or he's going to strike out. I'll take my chances on either one. I'm not afraid of Aaron Judge because literally I'm not afraid of the rest of their lineup. I think this is the series that goes 5 games. This is the series that goes 4 or 5. And if Cleveland wins a game or two, if they win 2, I think they can win the series. But if they can get out of New York with a split, this series could go easily 5 games, and I give the Guardians a big, big chance here. And again, I know that my theme has been the wild card round doesn't matter. I say it in football, and I say it in baseball. But the wild card round doesn't really matter because the cream rises to the top here. But of all the four division winners in the American and National League, I think the Yankees are the most suspect of the four. So I think this one goes 5 games. I'll take the Yankees to win just because they've got that team. But it would not shock me at all to see this go to the Guardians and see them move on to the American League Championship.
No, I think when you look at strikeout rates per team, if I'm not mistaken, out of the teams that are left, the 8 teams that we still have in the playoffs, the Yankees, I think they're something like the 5th or 6th, right, as far as strikeouts per game. I mean, they'd be 1st or 2nd as far as strikeouts per game. They swing and they miss an awful lot. And in a game where we put so much analytics into it, and if you play fantasy baseball, you pay attention to those numbers because that's what it's based off of. Between Bieber and Tristan McKenzie, the K-per-9 ratio of the Guardians is out of this world. And so if the Guardians were to find a way to steal Game 1 or Game 2, and you have Bieber and McKenzie coming on the back half of this series, the Yankees are in trouble.
Oh, yeah. No question about it. So that's the key to this series is don't be afraid of Aaron Judge. Look, Aaron Judge is going to get his, right? Whether you want it to happen or not, Judge is going to get a pitch to hit. You just want to minimize that. You don't want it to happen with two runners on base. You don't want it to happen with Stanton on base. You don't want it to happen with guys in front of him getting on base. You don't want it being with the first runs of the game where they're going to blow you out 3-0 and suddenly you're behind and everything goes chaotic. You want to minimize that damage. So make sure you minimize the ability of everyone else around him to not hurt you in the long run. And I think that's the key to this series. And again, who knows that? Francona knows that. Terry Francona has been around this game longer than any other manager probably going. I would think that he's got the longevity edge of all the other managers. So I give the Guardians a big, big look in that series.
Again, Steve Bordstein, our guest right now, as we talk about the divisional round of Major League Baseball, which is popping up starting tomorrow. Steve, let's transition to the National League. And we'll start by talking about the Dodgers and the Padres. Best team in baseball, the Dodgers. They won 111 games. By the way, I rarely do this, but I will toot my own horn. I called 111 games. Remember that?
You did. I do. I do remember that. We had our last conversation, and I asked you what the number was going to be, and you said 111, so hats off. That's
yeah.
Good job.
It just seemed like the right number. And when I look at this team and the way things were built in the regular season, I do believe there is some cause for concern for the Dodgers. For one, I don't fully believe in Tony Gonsolin. I don't know that I fully believe in Tyler Anderson, and I don't know really what to think of Andrew Heaney. That leaves Julio Urias, and it leaves Clayton Kershaw to really carry the load for the Dodgers, which if you take a look across the board, every team pretty much has one or two pitchers that they can rely on, and then it gets iffy, right, when you get into that 3 and 4, maybe even 5 spot. But that's something that the Dodgers have not had to worry about for a very long time, because you had Urias, you had Kershaw, you had Walker Buehler. Last year, you had Max Scherzer. You had these arms. They were so deep. I don't know that that's the case for pitching this year for the Dodgers. You're going to have to rely on outscoring a lot of teams, and I think if you run into really some shoddy relief work, you run into some shoddy starting work. This is a Dodger team that can put up 7, 8, 9 runs. That's what they're going to have to rely on, in my mind, if they want to get back to the World Series, because the depth as far as the starting rotation is just not there.
Okay, so I'll counter with two arguments here. Number one, I don't think it's Gonsolin and Anderson that I'm worried about. I'll argue that it's Kershaw and May that I'm worried about. And don't we always worry about Kershaw, because he's got that postseason history that every Dodger fan and every Dodger hater knows about and wants to bring up ad nauseum, and it's legitimate. I don't worry about Gonsolin or Anderson. I think they're fine. I don't worry about Urias. I think he's fine. I worry about the back end of that rotation as far as Kershaw and May are concerned. May has not been the same since he came back from the Tommy John. Kershaw, again, the history is there. Now, maybe he overcomes that, and maybe the back injury came up at what we'd like to call the right time, because he seems to have recovered fairly nicely from it, and he's looked good in his most recent outings. I don't worry about the lineup either, because of all the guys that we were worried about a month ago, was Cody Bellinger. And all of a sudden, since coming back from his little IL stint, all of a sudden Cody Bellinger has now found his swing. So I don't worry about that a little bit. What I worry about is what you mentioned a moment ago about the bullpen, the shoddy bullpen work. It's not a good look for a Major League Baseball team 2 weeks before the playoffs start to suddenly reshuffle who your closer is. And hasn't this been an issue for the Dodgers for the last several years? Whether it was Kenley Jansen, or whether it was Bruce Arcaro, or whether now it's Craig Kimbrel. Well, Kimbrel's now taken out of that role. Now we've got bullpen by committee. We've got closer by committee. So I don't worry about that. As far as the Dodgers and Padres series, from a numbers perspective, 14 wins, 5 losses this season, I don't think that number changes. 6 runs to 2.5. That's the average margin of victory between these two teams in those 19 games. The starting pitching numbers, 5.5 ERA for the Padres starting pitchers, 2.5 for the Dodgers. So to me, this is a no-brainer. I think this is a 3 or 4-game series. The only way this series gets ugly is if you're right about Gonsolin or Anderson. If those guys come out slow, and if San Diego does what they did in that National League wildcard series against the Mets, which is they get 3 runs on you early and shuts down your crowd like they did in New York, then things could get dicey. But I don't think that happens here. I think the only time this Padres team starts to turn that tide a little bit is next year. But I think there's still that gap here. And don't say that the Padres aren't aware of the numbers. They know the numbers. Sure. They know what they're up against here. This Mets team was god-awful. And the Padres took advantage of it. That's what they did in that National League Wild Card Series. I don't think that's going to be the case coming to L.A. I think L.A. wins it in 3 or 4.
I think the Dodgers win this series. However, I do believe this is a Padres team that has been helped immensely by Bob Melvin in the dugout. And I don't know that you can really overstate. You talked about Terry Francona with the Guardians. You have to talk about Bob Melvin and what he's done with this Padres unit. I don't think this team makes the playoffs, once again, if Jace Tingler is in the dugout. So the idea that baseball has the least amount of leadership or, I guess, coaching done by a manager is the furthest thing from the truth. I tip my hat to Melvin. With everything that went down this year with the Padres, if it was Tatis, if it was really shifting up the roster at the deadline, which sometimes can really be a huge detriment. Look at the Milwaukee Brewers. It just has been a very difficult season for the Padres and for them to not only get in, but to knock off the Mets in the form and the fashion in which they did to get to this point. Win or lose against the Dodgers, I think this is a success for the Padres. I really do.
No question about it. And the two biggest players that I worry about on the Padres, it's not Juan Soto I worry about, and it's not Manny Machado I worry about. The two guys I worry about the most, Cronenworth, because he's had the Dodgers' numbers for a few games so far this season, and Trent Grisham, who might be making a case right now for the best center fielder in the entire major leagues.
Steve, we'll end with this one. We get Philly and Atlanta, the World Series champions. We'll send Max Fried out. Boy, Philly, a team that I loved the moves they made at the deadline. I thought that they pushed all the right buttons. They really strengthened that bullpen. They found a replacement for Corey Knebel. They added some outfield depth with Brandon Marsh. They just pushed the right buttons at the deadline. They get past the Cardinals. They do it with relative ease, but now you get the World Series champs who, honestly, maybe playing the best baseball in all of the big leagues. I know that the Mets really went downhill late in the season, but the Braves still had to play top quality baseball to catch the Mets. Not only did they do that, they swept their division foes, and they've actually gone into the playoffs with a lot of style. I mean, if someone comes up to me right now and says the Braves are the team to beat in the National League, it's hard to argue.
No, you're absolutely right. The Braves, you know, it's one thing for the Mets to have fallen apart when they did, but, you know, much like the case in the American League East, you know, with the Yankees falling apart, you didn't have the Rays or the Blue Jays making that big of a postseason run, but the Braves did. The Braves got good at the right time. The Braves are dangerous because of just that. The Phillies are a fun story. They've done really well, and I would argue that had they not started off the season so miserable, they probably should have been one of the top two or three teams in the National League. But because they got off to that miserable start to the season and had to kind of, you know, work their way into this spot right now, you know, and go through some injuries. But man, that's a dangerous lineup there. But it's gonna run out. That run for the Phillies runs out here. Again, you mentioned it. St. Louis was a mediocre team, I think, coming into the postseason. The Phillies took advantage of that. This is gonna come down to the battle of, again, starting pitching and bullpens, and that's where Atlanta holds a sizable advantage here in this series, and I don't see it going much more than 3 or 4 games. Philadelphia's a fun team to watch. They've got some bats in that lineup that can clearly mash, but they can't match up, you know, play for play and player for player with the Braves here. I think the Braves win that in 3 or 4.
Steve Bordstein joins us to talk Major League Baseball. Steve, here we go. Playoff time is I know it's underway right now, but here we are in the divisional round. I got to ask you, my World Series pick from the beginning, it's been the Dodgers and Astros, and I have to stick with it because I think that's ultimately what we get. Any sort of difference in your opinion?
Braves-Astros, but if I mean Braves-Astros, God forgive me for saying that. Dodgers-Astros, God, I can't believe I just made that mistake. Dodgers-Astros for the World Series. And on the off chance, Dodgers Guardians.
Okay, I can buy that.
Dodgers Guardians, but you know, and honestly, and I've been asked this question 100 times by people, like, you know, the Dodgers to me are a foregone conclusion. I think they go on to the World Series. As a Dodgers fan, which series do I want more? The long-standing history and the rivalry between the Dodgers and Yankees, or do I want Dodgers-Astros because I haven't been able to get over 2017? And honestly, my answer is Astros. I want to replace 2017. I want to fix that. I want that blemish off of our record. And, you know, and do I, it'd be fine if it's against the Yankees? But I clearly want the Astros because 2017 still just bothers me. Everything about 2017 bothers me, and I want that more than anything.
Yeah, Steve, and you can even look at this from the opposite view as well. Astro fans want the Dodgers because even the staunchest Astro fans know that their team was A, very, very good, but B, there's an asterisk next to that, right? And I think that even Astro fans want a rematch based off of the same logic. They would love nothing more than to get rid of that quote-unquote blemish. Like, that's going to be the storyline if these two teams meet up.
Oh yeah, it's a great marketing angle for the networks. I mean, my God, I mean, how big a marketing angle is that for either way? Dodgers Yankees, historic rivalry, two biggest media markets, old school rivalry goes back to the 1920s, blah blah blah. But if you're a recent baseball fan, who doesn't know about the asterisk? Who hasn't talked about the Astros a bazillion times? You know, there's going to be, Dodgers fans are going to bring trash cans to the stadium. They're going to do everything. It's going to be fun that way. So it's a great marketing angle. Don't say that Major League Baseball doesn't want to recall that either, because they do. Because, you know, even the higher-ups in the Major League Baseball front office, as much as they don't want to acknowledge, oh, there was cheating in the World Series, trust me, they're going to embrace that to no end from a marketing standpoint. So Dodgers-Astros is still my pick as well as yours, but on the off chance that Cleveland can get past the Yankees, why not? You know, I mean, we talked about what Terry Francona does. You know, maybe the Guardians-Astros series isn't going to be a good one, you know, because maybe the Houston Astros just are that good, but if Cleveland gets hot, I can see them making a deep, deep run.
Steve Bortstein, kind enough to join us to talk baseball. Steve, I know we ran a little long on this one. We'll catch up again next week. Hopefully you have the time to join us, and we'll break down the NLDS, ALDS. And by that point in time, we'll have a pretty clear picture of the AL and NLCS. Always a pleasure to get you on.
Looking forward to it, my friend. Thank you.
We're going to pause for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return.